What are you doing? Dinner. Are there's good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
This weekend, President Trump on Twitter decided to reintroduce himself.
President Trump appears to have found a new nickname for the North Korean leader. He tweeted this morning, "I spoke with President Moon of South Korea last night, asked him how Rocket Man is doing. Long gas lines forming in North Korea, too bad."
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man.
It's great to know that if America's ever in a war of bitchiness, President Trump's got it covered. We've tried diplomacy. Now we've got to try sass.
We will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing, and able.
And all the science I don't understand is just my job.
Today at the UN, the imperialist dog, Trump, launched a pop-based attack calling me Rocket Man, a reference to Elton John's 1972 hit single. This is ridiculous. I would have gone with the Gap Band's You Dropped a Bomb on Me. But if Trump wants an Elton John insult off, Un will bring the heat. That is why tonight I am proud to introduce my new parody album, Goodbye Yellow-Haired Toad. Kim Jong-un reimagines the hits of Elton John to mock Trump. You'll hear all the righteous zingers like Hold Me Closer, Tiny Hand Sir, Comb Over in the Wind, Saturday Night's All Right for Golfin', and Someone Change My Wife Tonight.
Loser terrorists must be dealt with in a much tougher manner. The internet is their main recruitment tool, which we must cut off and use better.
We're going to build samples of the wall. Samples of the wall. And we're going to make the American taxpayers pay for it.
Is he this tone deaf? See, this ignorant, does he not know what got him elected?
Ann Coulter tweeted, at this point, who doesn't want Trump impeached?
The only consistent theme seems to be he's pro-Trump. He's for his own personal interest.
The president has no ideology. He has none. His ideology is what I want, what I feel like. The racial animus that he used, that's him too. I mean, you set enough fires, you can't say I'm not really an arsonist. I'm sorry, you got smoke on your fingers, right? He's just as offensive and just as racist and just as sexist and just as misogynistic and just as anti-Muslim as he was when he was running. But now he's a loser in doing that.
Donald Trump is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. His rise is the direct result of white supremacy, period. He has surrounded himself with white supremacists. No, they're not alt-right, and you want me to believe he isn't a white supremacist?
This egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides.
On many sides! This was a white nationalist rally. You have to call that out by name.
Do you think Donald Trump is racist?
I do. I do.
You do?
And I'll tell you why. It's tough to say that somebody is not racist when they're doing all the racist things.
Trump retweeted a racially charged graphic that overstates homicides committed by African Americans.
Trump retweeted a tweet showing a swastika next to the Bush family.
The tweet also included Jeb in a mariachi outfit.
Trump retweeted someone who claims to live in Jew-merica.
Nazis killed a young woman named Heather Heyer. Donald Trump made a statement and improvised during the statement that there was violence on many sides, many sides. These Nazis liked it. Okay, I'll say Nazis are bad, but you can't make me mean it.
I think especially in light of the advent of Antifa, if you look at what's going on there, you know, you have some pretty bad dudes on the other side also, and essentially that's what I said. Now, because of what's happened since then with Antifa, you look at, you know, really what's happened since Charlottesville. A lot of people are saying, in fact, a lot of people have actually written, gee, Trump might have a point. I said, you got some very bad people on the other side also, which is true.
Could very comfortably sign this bill that condemns the racists, the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis, etc., but has a hard time saying it. He just is able to do it on paper.
Who could have imagined that we'd be in a situation that the House and Senate feel compelled to, you know, send the president this resolution demanding that he denounce white supremacists? I think Donald Trump today was getting his head handed to him by conservative commentators who were angry at what he seems to be doing about DACA and about the wall. And he sort of cynically thinks that by sort of, you know, having a replay of these awful comments equating the people who were neo-Nazis in Charlottesville with those who were trying to protect the citizens of Charlottesville against them, that somehow he's going to sort of blunt the anger of the conservatives. Not going to work.
Not all of those people were neo-Nazis, believe me. You don't have any doubt about it either.
Oh, Mr. President, there is only one thing I no longer have any doubt about.
Oh, my God.
No big deal. Never discharge it. Security, Mike. What do you think about it? Of course.
When it was overheard by a New York Times reporter last week, who overheard Ty Cobb, he's the one with the mustache, discussing his dispute with White House counsel Don McGahn at Washington's popular BLT steak restaurant. The man across the table is Trump lawyer John Dowd. But at the heart of the clash, how much to cooperate with Robert Mueller's request for documents in his Russia investigation. Quote, the White House counsel's office is being very conservative with this stuff, Mr. Cobb, with the mustache, told Mr. Dowd. Our view is we're not hiding anything. Referring to Mr. McGahn, he added, he's got a couple documents locked in a safe. Cobb was also heard saying he had reservations about another White House lawyer, calling that person a McGahn spy.
It's on the row of a street that has both the New York Times, the Washington Post, and USA Today.
It's 171 steps away from the Washington Bureau of the New York Times.
Really, you have two lawyers that are supposed to be the most competent people. They're supposed to be up on their game. They're supposed to understand how important it is to speak about these issues in privacy, speaking about them over and really arguing about whether or not they should be giving documents to this investigation. So it really goes to the heart of the fact that this is really causing chaos in the White House, so much so that they're talking about it openly when there's lunch around all these journalists.
Ty Cobb is a very experienced Washington lawyer. He's sitting outdoors at 16th and I at BLT Steak, where there are a million people coming around, a lot of reporters hang around.
Next door to the New York Times.
And he says at the top of his lungs, my man, my guy's innocent. We want to cooperate with the special counsel.
So you think Ty Cobb saw Ken Vogel?
No, but I think Ty Cobb, even if you don't see Ken Vogel, if you're having an outdoor conversation with some other lawyer,
he doesn't mind being heard.
This story helps Trump, let's be honest. Mm. I mean, fine, we can all talk about squabbling among the staff. What's the top line? The top line is the guy who's representing Trump in the Russia investigation allegedly thinks he's innocent, and B, really wants to cooperate with Bob Mueller.
Ken, tell me, did you ever have the sense that they wanted to be heard?
Don't get the sense that they wanted to be heard. I've seen a little bit of speculation on that point on Twitter and elsewhere. And, you know, typically with folks in Trump's orbit, if there's a spectrum between like incredibly devious sort of manipulative puppet mastery and just clumsy incompetence. It's almost always going to be closer to that clumsy incompetence. And so I think that's what happened here, that they were just very indiscreet. You know, I was sitting there, as you suggested, with a source, having a source lunch, and noticed these two guys come in and finish the source lunch. And my source was like, okay, we'll walk down the street together. And I said, you know, why don't you just go yourself? I'm going to hang on here for a minute. Sat there typing on my iPhone, taking notes on what they said. And as you suggested, it was quite revealing, and I was quite surprised that they were being so indiscreet with such sensitive information on such a sensitive topic.
Something Yamiche said, these are supposed to be two very competent, very accomplished individuals. There was a line in that story that Ty Cobb was not the first choice for this job. We know that the president's outside counsel also were not the first choices for those jobs. A lot of senior, high-profile Washington attorneys turned it down. We've seen mistake after mistake after mistake. Ty Cobb is not, this isn't Ty Cobb's first indiscretion. He was emailing with internet trolls. He
in
was
the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night. The president's outside counsel also made very indelicate comments over email. We have seen mistake after mistake from Cobb and from other members of the president's team. And when you're squaring off with Bob Mueller, who has one of the most accomplished team of prosecutors, investigators, really in history, it is a real mismatch, right? You have to wonder, is McGahn really holding back because he wants to protect the privileges of the presidency, or is he worried about what happened in those early months where the president was doing, we know, was interfering with the FBI investigation a number of times. And Don McGahn himself is at the minimum a witness to many of those incidents.
Jared Kushner, who is also mentioned in this story as a potential flashpoint, potentially McGahn was pushing for him to step down because he would potentially cause more problems. But now he has a lawyer. Everybody seems to have a lawyer to try to protect themselves. How does the White House do any business in this kind of an environment?
Well, it's really tough to say because everybody has lawyered up, and the fact that there are lawyers now wondering kind of how the presidential son-in-law, how he factors into this, whether or not he should even be allowed to continue to work in the White House. There's so many people that are kind of there worrying about their own futures. There was a story about Omarosa being pushed out, and one of the stories that came out of that was that they were trying to have this meeting that to talk about White House strategy, and she was like, well, did you guys get a lawyer? Because I've already lawyered up. So the fact is that they're having meetings about unrelated topics, and people are like, well, did you already hire your counsel? Because you know you're going to need it. That's really problematic when you have tax reform, health care, DACA, all these different things that the White House needs to get done, and instead they're dealing with this investigation and all the conversations around it.
And I had a conversation with somebody close to the White House, and I said, does the Russia probe come up in conversation? Like, does it come up when you're talking to these folks? And the response was, when doesn't it come up?
Tonight, the New York Times has reported that President Trump was so incensed about the attorney general recusing himself from those matters, and so angry about the appointment of Robert Mueller, the special counsel who's looking into Trump and Russia, that he berated the attorney general and called him an idiot in front of a room full of people. He told the attorney general that he should resign. Jeff Sessions, according to the New York Times, then submitted his resignation letter to the president, and the president would not accept it. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is said to have called this the most humiliating experience of his professional life.
I think the goal might well have been, psychologically, to really make Jeff Sessions, who's a very proud man, to make him just be more dependent on pleasing the president. Mm. Whatever he could do, delivering that speech about DACA, only to have Trump a few days later say, hey, just kidding, we're going to do something that'll keep these young strivers in our country. It's all part of his manipulation. That is who he is. That's how he behaves.
The president of the United States retweeting a video on Twitter that shows him hitting a golf ball and then the golf ball striking Hillary Clinton and knocking her down. The president of the United States retweeted that this morning. Why?
New York Times has just broken the news tonight that prosecutors working for special counsel Robert Mueller have told the Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort that they intend to indict him. The Times also reporting that the FBI's raid on Paul Manafort's house in July was conducted in accordance with a search warrant that allowed FBI agents to get into Manafort's house without knocking, by picking the lock on his front door. Quote, to be allowed to pick the lock and enter the home unannounced, prosecutors further had to persuade a federal judge that Manafort was likely to destroy evidence. ABC News was first to report back in August that when the FBI executed this raid on Manafort's house, Manafort only learned that it was underway when armed FBI agents started knocking on his bedroom door. Quoting from their report tonight in the Times, dispensing with the plodding pace typical of many white-collar investigations, Mr. Mueller's team has used what some describe as shock and awe tactics to intimidate witnesses and potential targets of the inquiry. One former prosecutor telling the Times tonight, quote,
"This is more consistent with how you'd go after an organized crime syndicate."
Paul Manafort thinks Donald Trump will pardon him if he hangs tough.
From the Wall Street Journal, reporting that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has been interviewed by Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller. The Journal reports, in the interview with the Special Counsel's office, Mr. Rosenstein said that in the May 8th meeting with Mr. Trump, the president said that he knew that firing Mr. Comey wouldn't end the Russia investigation and that it could create additional problems for him, according to a person familiar with the interview. Mr. Rosenstein told investigators that the president shrugged off any potential consequences for firing Mr. Comey, telling Mr. Rosenstein that he didn't like the FBI director and wanted him out of government, the person said. Also tonight, Donald Trump's longtime attorney Michael Cohen will be the first Trump associate questioned in a public televised Senate hearing investigating the Trump campaign's Russia connections. Michael Cohen was scheduled to testify privately to the Senate Intelligence Committee, but after Michael Cohen violated an agreement with the committee about making public statements about his private testimony, the committee canceled the meeting.
You agree with the position that the Sheriff Joe pardon was a exercise to get people used to the exertion of the pardon lever?
Yes, and to signal to maybe others that he shouldn't be talking with now, like Manafort. This is one of the stories that says that Trump and Manafort kept talking for a while, then their lawyers told them, you absolutely have to stop. That lawyers told Trump, you have to stop talking. It signals that he's willing to pardon people and take some political heat for it.
We'll know when Bob Mueller is about to indict Trump for collusion, because he'll suddenly start calling him fake Sam Waterston.
His hate just breeds more hate. Doesn't serve any other purpose.
This possibility that Paul Manafort has been wiretapped by the FBI going as far back as 2014.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
They would not have been able to get that wiretap without some suspicion that he was a foreign agent.
In Watergate, in the whole investigation, no search warrants.
There were no search warrants.
And I assume now, no wiretaps.
And no wiretaps. And in fact, nobody wore a wire.
There is reporting that White House staffers are now worried that even in their own private conversations with colleagues, that someone might be wearing a wire.
Yeah, that's true. They don't trust anybody, and that's why there continue to be these sort of walled off, you know, factions within the White House. And a lot of them certainly don't trust the lawyers, or at least some of the lawyers out there. And so there's so much mistrust.
Now, Vice President Pence, having already lost his chief of staff, today he lost his press secretary. Vice President Pence has himself hired a high-powered Washington, D.C. lawyer to represent him on the Trump-Russia scandal. Under the new interpretation of ethics rules around these things, Mike Pence and any other White House staffer who needs to fund his legal defense will be able to accept unlimited anonymous donations from lobbyists to defray any legal bills that arise out of these White House scandals. BuzzFeed today reporting on a previously secret meeting held in January in New York that involved Mike Flynn, Steve Bannon, Jared Kushner, and the King of Jordan. It is unusual that they didn't disclose it. Jared Kushner initially left the meeting off of his security clearance application. Mike Flynn left the meeting off of his security clearance application. Steve Bannon, we don't know about his security clearance application yet. Beyond just the secrecy about this, the fact that it has not been disclosed until now, Democrats on the House Oversight and Foreign Affairs Committee reported that another thing Mike Flynn failed to initially disclose was that he was a paid agent working to advance a business proposition to partner with, among other companies, Russian nuclear and security companies in order to do this gigantic multi-hundreds of millions of dollars project that would build nuclear reactors in the Middle East. Most of them would be in Saudi Arabia, which, yes, floats on a sea of oil, but also in the nation of Jordan. So, congressional Democrats on Wednesday released this information that they said shows that Mike Flynn was involved in that project. He was being paid to advance that nuclear project, including taking a trip to the Middle East in 2015 to pursue that project. He was doing all that without ever disclosing that trip, without disclosing any of the foreign meetings of foreign leaders he took in conjunction with that project, and certainly without disclosing the payment that he received for doing that work. He didn't disclose any of that in his security clearance application. House Democrats say they are therefore forwarding that information
investigation to Robert Mueller so he can decide if that's a prosecutable offense. The Wall Street Journal had reported that once Mike Flynn actually was National Security Advisor working in the Trump White House, he continued to advance that Russian nuclear business proposal, up to and including telling National Security Council staff members that they had to take meetings with the companies who were involved in that business plan. Is that not just Mike Flynn, but also Steve Bannon and Jared Kushner? BuzzFeed reports that the three of them were in on a meeting, a previously undisclosed meeting, with the King of Jordan during the transition,
because it was too problematic that he had forgotten more than 100 things on his clearance form. There were a lot of issues. One place talked about it, and then they tried to cover it up, but in the reporting of that story, what we found out, what we heard were probably a lot of the same things that Ken experienced going back to the White House staff and going to the lawyers.
You heard a lot of emotion
from them on the phone.
People close to the three Trump advisors say that the nuclear deal was not discussed.
When they're trying to get their story straight, you're getting a lot of calls back to you about, this is what happened.
To a document created by a law enforcement agency about the meeting.
I agree with Ken Vogel that this is unlikely to
be. The position that Cobb is representing of McGahn's,
which is, no, I don't want to be liberal about this. That's created by a law enforcement agency. That's based on the fact that Don McGahn, unlike all of these outside lawyers, was there during the campaign. He was there when Comey was fired. He has seen what actually happened. He is not in a position to be blithe and say, we show everything, our guy's innocent, I'll be fine. Don McGahn's basically saying, no, if we show everything, it might not be so pretty.
Kushner's still there. Him.
next week on an all-new Trump Care.
We had to go with the health care first, and we're doing well. I think we're going to have some great surprises.
What kind of surprises?
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.